I say Shabbos is Hutra, Natalie.
It means that Shabbat doesn't have any more significance if you push it aside.
Correct. It means that everything is permitted. It's as though today we're not Shabbos at all. Do whatever is needed for the patient. And the case that we gave, right, with the in the discussion of the Rashba, was where the doctor prescribes for some reason red meat for the patient. The only meat that you have available is not shechted meat, meat that just, you know, the animal died on its own. It's an avela. And the question is, do I shecht in order to provide this person with kosher meat? Or do I say no, the better that I avoid violating Shabbos further, and therefore just give them the nevela, even though it is nevela. And the you can make the argument, if you say Shabbos is hutra, why not shecht? Give the person kosher meat. It's like Shabbos isn't even there. Whereas dechuya means that Shabbos is... what? Well, what does literally the word dechuya mean? To push off. Shabbos is pushed off. It's there. It's a concern. It's just that the health concern is overriding it. But in the event that I can minimize my violation of Shabbos, I am responsible to do so. And therefore, give this person the nevela, as opposed to shechting for them. And that, in fact, was the position that that we saw articulated from the Rashba. That was all what we saw last time. So what I wanted to show you this time, and we said that the position of the Rush is that Shabbos is Hutra, and the position of the Rambam explicitly is that Shabbos is Dechuya, and the position of the Rashba is that Shabbos is Dechuya. Well, I wanted to show you one more source arguing that Shabbos is Dechuya, and this is the position of Rav Zerachya Halevi, also known as the Baal HaMa'or, and then show you how we paskin on Hutra versus Dechuya. Okay? We're good? Okay. So if you take a look on your sheet, there's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yotes Amud Aleph. This Gemara causes no end of headaches because it's a very hard Gemara to understand. I don't mean word-wise. The words are easy. The problem is understanding the logic. Anybody here ever go on a cruise? Okay, we've got a couple of people who have gone on cruises. Did the cruise run through Shabbos? I'm not going to accuse you of violating Shabbos, don't worry. One shakes the head no, one says yes. Don't remember. Okay, so take a look at this Gemara. Tana Rabbana, Brisa says, Shabbos Daf Yotes. Ein mafligin b'sfina pachos mishlosha yamim kodem l'Shabbos. You are not allowed to embark on a boat within 3 days of Shabbos. So in other words, you can get on the boat on Wednesday, no getting on the boat on Thursday. B'meir d'var ma'murim, when is this true? L'dvar ha'rishus, if you're going just because you feel like going, it's an optional trip, it's discretionary, I feel like going on a boat. Aval l'dvar mitzvah, but if it is in pursuit of a mitzvah, shapir dami, then you're even allowed to get on the boat on Thursday or Friday. Uposek imam anas lishbos veino shoves divrei Rebbe. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, Rebbe says, you do have to tell the non-Jews in charge of the boat that you want to stop on Shabbos. You want to dock somewhere on Shabbos. Even if they don't actually follow through, you have to make that good faith effort to get them to stop on Shabbos. Something is wrong with traveling on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel omer eino tzarech. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, that's not required. And for a short trip, like from Tzur to Tzidon, these are two ports that are very close together, northern Israel, Lebanon, you can even go on Friday. It's not an issue. And then you have a brisa that adds, regarding laying siege, you would not be allowed to lay siege to a city you are attacking within 3 days of Shabbos, but if you started beforehand, you don't interrupt the siege. Okay, we're not really discussing the siege. I didn't really need that on this page. I'm not sure why I brought it. But the question that everybody asks regarding this Gemara is, what's the difference between getting on the boat on Thursday and getting on the boat on Wednesday? Why would I not be allowed to get on the boat on Thursday? What's the possible concern? Yeah, Natalie. So if something goes wrong on the boat, you'll have a chance to fix it before Shabbos. But something could go wrong on Shabbos. Right? How does that help you? Yeah.
Are you supposed to start preparing for Shabbos on Wednesday?
So it's true that we do say you're supposed to start preparing for Shabbos as of Wednesday. That's the middle of the week. But that doesn't solve our problem here because we said Wednesday's okay. It's Thursday and Friday that are not okay. Unless the answer is your 3 days are actually Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right? The Gemara doesn't actually make clear. So maybe it's Tuesday you're allowed to get them. But I'm pretty sure it's the Wednesday that's the issue. I have to double check that. Bailey, you were going to say? No. So, yeah. You know, I should double check and see, instead of guessing as to whether this is, or whether you're allowed to embark on Shabbos, on Wednesday, or whether you're only allowed to embark on Tuesday, should actually just look at the Rashi on the Gemara, because I would wager he will answer this question for us in a short order. So just 1 second. Someone tell me what my 3 days are. Nope, Rashi is not interested in telling me how to count 3 days. He just assumes that I know what I'm talking about. Okay, you were going to say?
That sounds like really far-fetched, but maybe it's in terms of like how far you are from the shore. Because like, isn't a boat like what considered its own era when it's in the water? Mm-hmm. And like, if you come back, then like maybe you're violating, maybe like all the stuff that you have to carry on and off the boat gets problematic from getting off the boat and back onto the shore.
So, say this again?
Maybe it's just a problem with Eruv.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think a boat in the water is considered maybe its own Eruv. Like, you can get on, but you can't get off in terms of carrying everything you have and, like, from Shabbos. If maybe if you come back, if you're not close enough to the shore, then you can't take everything on and off.
So, there is a lot to say regarding the issues of Eruv and Tchum when you're on the boat. But I don't think that leaving 3 days earlier changes anything. Leaving on Friday does the same thing. So I don't know that that's actually going to help. But I think those who have said, I'm not finding anything explicit right now, but I think those who suggested that actually you can't get on the boat from Wednesday may well be correct. The 3 days that we're counting are Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So that could actually help. The Baal HaMaor says... Well, first of all, one of the arguments that's brought regarding why you're not allowed to get on the boat is that it's an Oneg Shabbos issue. It's about your enjoyment of Shabbos. Meaning, in the event that you get on the boat on Friday, so you get seasick. People have a hard time adjusting to that. Give them a few days on the boat, and that way, by the time Shabbos arrives, they're feeling okay. That's one of the positions. However, Reb Zrachi Halevi, also known as the Baal HaMaor, disagreed. And he said that's not what this is about. Take a look at source number two. He says, yeah, Bailey.
Sorry, what was that quick answer that you just said?
The quick answer was that it's about Oneg Shabbos, that it's you won't enjoy Shabbos if you get on too close to Shabbos because you'll feel seasick. That was the idea.
Where's your sheet? I'm on the link and there's only two papers.
Sorry?
You're on source number two.
I'm on source number two, Reb Zrachi Halevi, the Baal HaMaor, HaMaor HaKatan. Did you get the sheet that I uploaded yesterday?
No, it's only showed me two options.
Anybody else having trouble finding it? Everyone else has it. Okay, so I'm not... Okay.
Sorry.
So the Baal HaMaor writes, if you look at source number two, Kol Shlosha Yomim Kodem L'Shabbos Kamei Shabbos Mikri. This goes back to what Sarah was saying, that the 3 days before Shabbos are called before Shabbos. This is why I'm thinking that it is, in fact, including Wednesday. V'nira kemasne lidchos es ha-Shabbos. The problem is that things go wrong on boats, not unlike what Natalie was saying, but the conclusion is different. Things go wrong on the boat, and the concern is that you're going to need to override Shabbos in order to rescue people. On the boat, you're going to have to do something, fix something, in order that the boat shouldn't sink, people shouldn't get thrown overboard, whatever it is that could have gone wrong with the boat. And by getting on within those 3 days before Shabbos, it's like you're, during this period that you're supposed to get ready for Shabbos, you're actually stipulating, ha, I'm going to violate Shabbos. Because nothing prevents pikuach nefesh. And he says it's not a rule about boats. It's putting yourself in any position where you might need to violate Shabbos in order to save yourself, and we don't want you doing that close to Shabbos. This is premised on the idea that Shabbos is dechuya. If Shabbos is hutra, doesn't matter, exactly. That's what I'm supposed to do on Shabbos. But Shabbos is dechuya, and so within those 3 days before Shabbos, I am supposed to protect Shabbos by preventing this circumstance from arising in the first place. We will discuss this, God willing, when we get to the topic of emergencies and the like. What about anticipating the need to violate Shabbos? Let's say a woman is expecting and her due date is, you know, Thursday, Friday, or Shabbos, and she's getting up to that week, to that Shabbos, and nothing's doing yet. Does she have any obligation whatsoever to try to stay for Shabbos near the hospital? Does she have any obligation maybe to do things to the car or make arrangements for a ride in case they have to go to the hospital? Or do I say, look, if it happens, it happens. Just go at that point. Shabbos is hutra. How do I look at that? We'll have to talk about that issue. Bailey.
So it's talking about, you should not just vote. You should avoid any situation that you put yourself in where you know you're going to have to do.
That's what it sounds like.
Shabbos for people off
the That's what the Balamor sounds like.
Right.
Yeah.
So then what if your job is you work in a hospital and you're on call for the weekend and you don't have an option not to be?
Good. So we are going to need to talk about that. It is a very good question that we're going to come back to when we talk about hospital life on Shabbos. It is a major machlokas as to whether a doctor who is on call on Shabbos and may indeed be summoned to the hospital is required to get an apartment or something that's near the hospital or not, and we'll talk about the specifics of that, because yes, you are 100% right. Okay. So in the end, yes?
So what's the difference between getting on the boat on Tuesday and having violated Shabbos Wednesday?
So what the Baal HaMor says, if you take a look at source number 2, is that the 3 days before Shabbos are called the days running up to Shabbos. They have the status of Kamei Shabsa, before Shabbos. And therefore, that's when I need to worry. You're asking a good question. Yeah, but what happened to those days before? Like, why is there a limit like that? So I'm not going there within this year. It's hotly debated. It's a good question. It's just, I didn't think it would be a good idea for me to take too much time on that. So we paskin, Shabbos is dechuya. That's how we hold. And so we do look for ways to minimize violation of Shabbos. So that if you look in source number 3, you see what the Shulchan Aruch has to say on this business of getting on a boat, or for that matter, a caravan. Hayotzeim b'shayara b'midbar, someone who's getting on a wagon, a caravan, in the wilderness. V'akol yodim shem tzichem l'chal al Shabbos, ki mipnei ha-sakana lo yuchlu la'ake b'midbar b'shabbos levadam. And everybody knows they're going to need to violate Shabbos. And it's not like the boat where you can make the argument that you're not violating Shabbos when you're sitting on the boat. On the caravan, you are traveling outside the Eruv, outside of the Tchum. So you know that you're going to need to do that because it's dangerous to just sit out there in the wilderness all day long on Shabbos. So Gimel Yamim Kodem Shabbos Asurim Latzeis. 3 days before Shabbos, you're not allowed to go. Ube Yom Rishon, Ube Sheni, Ube Shlishi. And that proves that Sarah is indeed correct because he only says Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Mutter Latzeis, you're allowed to go. And then if you went on Monday, and sure enough, you ended up needing to violate Shabbos because it's dangerous not to, then mutter, that's allowed, and that's not called a violation of Shabbos. That's the idea. So rules the Tzitz Eliezer Waldenberg as well. But key note, and this is a very important point, you should always be aware that the primary thing, despite the principle of dechuya, the primary rule is save lives. Don't sit there calculating, how can I minimize my violation of Shabbos? That's not okay. Like I said, week one, the person who asks the question is shedding blood. The person who is asked the question is disgraceful because he should have made sure that everybody knows that the priority is saving lives. It's only where you know that by taking this other option, you're not going to reduce the quality of the life-saving activity. That's when this becomes a conversation. But not otherwise. Don't start playing games otherwise. That's a bad idea. Rebecca.
Well, the point we're saying is more about, you should preemptively plan to break Shabbos.
Correct. in this case, but it will have applications in actual circumstances. Like, this does come up where you have two choices and you can choose the option that reduces the violation of Shabbos. It comes up more often in advance in terms of planning. That's correct. So I brought you something in source number 4. This is another book that I want to introduce you to because it's a very handy resource. It's called Madrich Lechevra Hatzala, a guide for Hatzala members. Rabbi Mechel Handler is the author. And I mentioned the book for two reasons. Number one, because it's valuable. It's an English language resource involving questions that were asked of Rav Moshe Feinstein, I think primarily him, if not exclusively him, but I'm not 100% sure of that, regarding Hatzala activities on Shabbos. Here they also quote Shlomo Zalman in the piece that I excerpted. And so for anybody who is going to be an EMT, for anybody who's going to go into medical practice, it's worth having a book like that. So that's one reason I mention it. The other reason I mention it is because the way I came across it. I happened to be in Pittsburgh. I think it was in Pittsburgh at some point. It was a few summers ago, more than a few at this point. And davening in a shul there, so I checked out the library, and lo and behold, this book is in their library. I had never heard of it beforehand. I don't think I've ever seen it in a shul library since. Happened to be in that shul library and looking at the shelves and came across this this very valuable book. And the lesson is, check out shul libraries when you're in a shul you haven't been in before, because you never know what you find, and you could find some very good svarim that way. Don't then take it from the shul library. Order it online or go to the svarim sale or something. But leave it in the library. Okay, so take a look at what Rabbi Handler writes here in source number 4. He says, even when the use of shinuyim, a shinuy means an abnormal way to perform a particular action, one of the things we will eventually see is that in the event that somebody needs to violate Shabbos, but they can do it in an abnormal way, they can reduce a biblical violation of Shabbos to a rabbinic violation of Shabbos. So even when using a shinua, using this abnormal method, would not cause a delay in treating a chola sheyesh bo sakana or a safek misukan, somebody who is dangerously ill or who might be dangerously ill, nevertheless, according to some poskim, it is still forbidden to use shinuyim while treating them on Shabbos. You should not use a shinui, he says. You're dealing with somebody who's dangerously ill? Don't use a shinui, even if it's not going to cause a delay. Chazal were concerned lest the lay public be misled into thinking that in situations of pikuach nefesh, one is obligated to make attempts to minimize the malacha while treating a chola misukan. We are worried that people might think, I need to davka use an abnormal method, right? If, let's say, I'll give you an example. You're calling 911. So you open your phone and you start pushing the button with your knuckle, right? That's a shinui, right? Potentially. We'll have to talk about what qualifies as a shinui, what doesn't qualify as a shinui. That's its own discussion. But let's say that pushing the buttons with your knuckle is a shinui. So you say, well, look, you know, I'm pretty handy with the phone. I can just do 911 with my knuckle and that'll be fine. But the concern is that once you do that, you establish a precedent for yourself and for onlookers to think, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. And potentially they're going to try employing a shinui where it actually does diminish the care for somebody who is dangerously ill. God forbid somebody dies because somebody was trying to find a shinui. That will be the worst. So we do not want to see that happen. So he continues to say, in practice, Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman both ruled that Hatzalah members should not utilize shinuyim or any other forms of hakal techila, I'll explain that phrase in a minute, when treating a chole misukan, even when the member is convinced that time is not of the essence and patient care will not be compromised. What is the principle of hakal techila? Anybody know what that means? What does the word kal mean? Easy or light. What it means here is the lighter prohibition. Techila means first, correct. The principle of Akal Hakal Techila says, violate Shabbos in the most light way possible first. Choose the least violation of Shabbos you can. And what he's saying is, if you're dealing with somebody who's dangerously ill, don't do that. Don't follow that principle. Even though we've said Shabbos is Dechuya. Since we are dealing with a halachically classified chola sheyesh bo sakana or a safek misukan, we're dealing with somebody who's dangerously ill or might be, we think might be, we are concerned the rescuer may err in assuming he has time to utilize shinuyim and thereby jeopardize a life. You think you have time for the shinui, and you don't. So don't make that mistake. Clear? So Shabbos is dechuya, but in practice, you're dealing with a chol sheyesh bo sakana, treated as though it's hutra. That's really what the poskim are telling us. Clear? Got it? Okay. So, last point before we shift over to the quiz. And that is just something that's worth knowing. Simple and straightforward point, but it's easy to see somebody making a mistake with this. And that is, there's no such thing as saying, I don't want you to break Shabbos for me because there's a mitzvah of Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. A person who says, I want to be frum and I don't want you to break Shabbos for me, is incorrect, fundamentally incorrect. This is a Gemara in Yuma, but I just brought you the conclusion of it because it's a straightforward point in the Mishnah Berurah. Take a look at source number 5. If the patient himself is afraid that they're going to violate Shabbos for him, doesn't want it, kofin oso, we force him. Umedabrim alibo shu chasidus shel shtus. We explain to him, this is a foolish piety. You think that what you're doing is pious and righteous and all that, but what it actually is foolish. We do not want people doing that. Do not pass go. Do not collect anything. Similarly, just to show you source number 6, also in the Shulchan Aruch, this is from the Gemara Numa Daf Pe Gimel, regarding somebody who needs to eat on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur and doesn't want to because it's Yom Kippur. Cholesh etzarech le'achol, if you have a patient who needs to eat, im yesham rofei baki, if there's an expert physician, afilu hu ove kochavim, even if he's not Jewish, and therefore you'll say, well, he doesn't take Yom Kippur seriously because what's Yom Kippur to him? And he says, if this patient doesn't eat, he could get worse and he could be in danger. We feed him on the word of the doctor. Now, parenthetically, just for your awareness, we do try to get a Jewish doctor to weigh in, and specifically somebody who understands the gravity of Yom Kippur. Because otherwise, you do end up with a physician who just says, well, why would you want to go anywhere near there? Of course he should be eating. And that's not necessarily needed in all cases. So rule number one is, when there are any issues about fasting on Yom Kippur, take care of them far in advance. I can't tell you how many times you get a situation in which somebody raises a question on like Erev Yom Kippur, like an hour before Yom Kippur, which they knew about 2 weeks beforehand, but just didn't look into it. Like, you have time for many situations to look into it. That's number one. But number two, it is true that we'd rather get a physician who has an understanding of the gravity of Yom Kippur. But the statement of the Shulchan Aruch is, you go with what the doctor says, and afilu, the end of source number 6, afilu machola omer eno tzarech, shome'im larofei. Even if the patient says, I know my body, I don't need to eat, I have felt like this before, I can survive a few more hours, if the doctor says to feed the patient, you feed the patient. That's the rule. Clear? Okay, there were questions, I thought. Yeah, Bailey.
For the Mishnah Berurah, you said that, like, or this whole concept is, if the patient thinks that they don't need the care, then we should still give it to them and we should tell them that they're being foolish. I'm just checking that this is only just for a foolish age for sakana. Because in other cases where, I think we said earlier that if it was a lighter case of chola, their word was also.
This is good only
enough.
Right. So this is only for chola sheyesh bo sakana and safek pikuach nefesh also, where we're
right.
Not sure.
Like the higher ones.
Correct.
Okay.
Those are the only cases for which this is true. That is correct. Other questions? Okay. So I'm going to send you the link for the quiz on Canvas. Just to explain it before we start, so that I don't distract people. There are 5 questions on the quiz. Only answer 4 out of 5. Okay, and I'm just going to say it clearly because this was apparently confusing in the first semester. Only answer 4 out of 5. Don't do like, I'm going to answer all 5 and you can take the best 4. No, that's not happening. Only answer 4 out of 5. You have 15 to 20 minutes. I'm going to gauge based on seeing how people are doing with it, but I will not give you less than 15 minutes. Those who receive extra time can do it at the end of class if need be. You need not write full sentences, okay? But you do have to be clear. Full sentences lend themselves to being clear. So please make sure that you write in a clear way. I don't care about full sentences.